The views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
Queer things that were and shall be again. A changing of the guard, the tide's marching in. You think you can hold out, but you know you're wrong, so you better join us now. You better do it fast, or you will be. Necronomicon gives us power to rise from the dead. You play the tape.
Geeks, welcome to the second half of our 31 Days of Halloween double episode. We are delivering a different horror movie for you to watch for every day of Halloween spooky season!
Spooky! Yeah, spooky motherfuckers!
So we're not going to waste a lot of time on the second half here going into stuff, but let me reintroduce the panel for those that forgot in the week between the last episode and this one. We've got Will McCobb here.
Save the bees or I'll come kick your ass.
He will. He's capable of it. From a nerdcropolis.com, we've
hey,
got
hey.
KT.
Yeah, it's Hot Witch Fall. Happy to be back.
Yay. Hot Witch Fall is
like
amazing.
I like that.
My partner in crime on the network and the show as well, we've got Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
What's up, you spooky motherfuckers?
Yay.
Yeah, yeah. And last but not least, we got the spookiest of the spooks, the spooksters. We got Mike Dabba Bickett.
And not in the weird, like, CIA kind of vibe at all. like, I'm not a narc, basically. So I just want to make that crystal clear.
Wouldn't a narc say that?
I'm out.
Fuck. Fuck.
Got him.
My cover is blown. Get me. Yeah, that's how I'm getting into the fucking underworld, is starting a fucking geek podcast where we drink booze and talk about dicks.
And you've gone this far.
Sounds great.
This far.
Yeah, this far.
Yeah, close to 7 years. Yeah.
God.
Deep undercover.
My boss is six and mad. A half. I have been appropriating so much cash for beer and acoustic foam. If you have not listened to the first half of this episode, I do that.
Stop. Go back to last week and listen to that, and then you can come back and listen to
exactly.
This.
This is part two. This is the follow-up to the episode from last week where we talked about different movies to watch during the Halloween season based on the day. We started on the 30th of September and have been moving through numerically and alphabetically. We stopped on L, the 13th, Wednesday the 13th, which is also a musician, weirdly.
awkward.
Nerd.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's awkward. So we're going to start with M, with Will, on this episode moving forward. But before we do that, we have a little segment that we're going to do a quick version of, where we talk about what really makes this podcast work in the first place. We're talking about what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey.
Spooky.
I love that we all just started swaying.
And we did.
There was an organ playing. That's what you do.
That's what you do.
That's what you do.
So first off, I got a little tasty treat that it's so thematic that it's fucking bizarre. Buffalo Bill's Brewery, first off, great.
Mm-hmm.
Darkest of them all, Black Pumpkin Oatmeal Stout.
They went all out for
it's
this.
Just like,
I love it.
They were like, we're going to Halloween more than Halloween.
I fucking love this. Yeah, I've never had this.
They did
it
go hard on
my,
this.
It warms my black heart.
Funk, yeah. Look at this. Like, that's a lot of words there.
There's a lot of words.
Darkest of
on
them
the
all.
Can.
I'm surprised there isn't just a list of like witches, vampires, goblins, just like a bunch of
it just
listings.
Needs to like, it just needs to have on the back and be like, you'd fuck me.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to be like, if I sip this, am I going to say, would I fuck me? I'd fuck me.
This beer is, Amy mentioned this term. I was not familiar with it. The pick me girl.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I know the pick me girl.
pick me girl, yes. Where it's instead of like actually just being a well-informed person of a thing, it's just like, oh yeah, I like that thing too.
Pick me.
This is the pick me girl of Halloween beer, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, it's
oh, that's a negative connotation. I've never had it before. So, okay, we'll see.
The description, here we go. We got to read this real quick. A creamy oatmeal stout with rich layers of pumpkin spice and chocolate notes. Black pumpkin oatmeal stout boasts a smooth roasted malt flavor, subtle sweetness, and the aroma of pumpkin creme brulee.
Is this
and
also on the can? There's so many words.
Yeah, it's on the other side you're looking at there. There you go. And,
you got to be literate to read this.
I will say that all that's bullshit. Listen, the roasted malts aren't, but like,
yeah, the roasted malts. Look, it is drinkable. Don't get me wrong. No, it's not gross.
It's not bad.
It's not ruining my palate or anything.
But it's also not that description. Like, I don't get that.
The imperial part of the imperial stout is really the thing that you're focusing on more than anything else. The creaminess from the oatmeal stout isn't there. The pumpkin spice is barely noticeable.
It's kind of creamy. It's still a stout.
Am I going to be laughed out of this entire podcast if I say that this is like a sessionable like pumpkin beer?
No. Actually, considering the 7.9, it's a little bit higher than normal, but it's not like light. With an imperial, you're thinking 8 or 9 plus usually. So it is a little bit weaker than a normal imperial. And yeah, I could drink like the 4-pack that I got. I could probably clear that 4-pack without really feeling too bloated or weird or gross.
You'd be drunk.
I'd be a little drunk, yeah, for sure. But
for sure,
I've been dealing with a year and a half of fucking pandemic. My tolerance is not 4-pack of 7% beer.
You looked angry at that.
He's dead.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, also a reasonable statement,
dude. How dare you?
Like, how dare you? The nerve!
I kind of like it, but you're not gonna come at me with the darkest of them all.
Yeah, like
pumpkin. Like, and then be a beach beer. Yeah, like, I could drink this on the beach.
If you want like the Cannibal Corpse, the beer, you go to Adroit Theory.
They've got
all the fucking booze in the world, and I'm sure I'll probably pull that on one of the other Halloween episodes because they're fucking amazing. And their shit is hardcore. Like, all the flavors that they're going for is like a sucker punch to the fucking Adam's apple. Yeah. Like, they are not fucking around.
Now, this other one is like harvest all up in your mouth.
And yeah, here tell us go. About what you brought to Hang the.
I brought go. A staple, and I will say that because I'm pretty sure this has been on every year since its creation, either of the beer or the podcast.
And I'm not mad about it.
Was first. I'm pretty sure it was probably the beer. We got Hardywood. East Coast local, bitches.
Local, represent.
Hardywood, straight out of Richmond, VA. Their farmhouse pumpkin. This is delicious.
Delightful. Oh,
it is just so good. It's not pumpkin pie, but it's like, because I wouldn't want that. It's just a nice ale with some pumpkin.
I don't care how basic it is. If it's got pumpkin flavor in it, I'm here.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm going to try it.
Own your basic bitch life, honey.
I
love it. I'm here for it too.
But it is a farmhouse style ale. Add in pumpkin guts.
That's I do like got. A good pumpkin guts. Like,
yeah.
Good and messy.
It's good. I mean, actually, it's only gotten better with the years, I think. Because I remember at a certain point when they did it, it was very hot. And by hot for non-beer nerds, you could taste the booze. Because this is an 8.2.
Oh, y'all are trying to get me drunk.
This is an 8.5.
We're trying. Apparently you have a higher tolerance than we expected you to have. So,
but this is an 8.5. Now,
not in a creepy way. It's just like, you seem like you're a fucking great drunk. It's like,
I am the great pumpkin
like
drunk.
Like a fun time.
I am the great pumpkin drunk Charlie Brown.
Yes.
I mean, that sounds like an episode name.
I'm looking at the can, and it's a wonderfully branded can. What is this first word under farmhouse pumpkin?
Wallonian?
Is this a Marvel comic term?
Wallonian style farmhouse ale brewed with pumpkin
Wallonian.
And spices.
Doesn't
what
that
the fuck
sound
is Wallonian?
Comic books?
We are the people of the wall.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like the Great North. It's like the it's like the northern version of Wakanda, but it's Wallonian.
And then you got Wakanda. What is that? There you go.
What the fuck?
What it's I love really about this though. Is that it's not overly heavy. You've got that kind of like really weedy farmhouse kind of vibe to it. Mm. And the pumpkin is not overplaying that at all. That's such a sensitive flavor profile anyway. The pumpkin adding to that could very much take that over.
It's on the back end, kind
it's
of,
back
right?
End. It's they, nuanced.
As all the good things
no,
are.
You're right. Well, like, it's nuanced. You get that pumpkin flavor while still getting that weedy profile at the same time.
Yeah.
It's very well balanced. It's as... You mentioned on the previous sessionable.
Sessionable.
Not an 8.5. It's not sessionable.
Well,
but
no. I mean,
tastes like
sessionable.
It.
The flavor, the drinkability makes it sessionable.
The booze.
Just make sure
dangerous.
If you're going to session this, do it at home.
Yes, it comes in a 4-pack.
What does
drink
anybody
all four,
else do anymore, though?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, people are going out now.
Or do it at a friend's house whose couch is available to you. Yeah.
I mean, a couch looks pretty good, man.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also floors. I've done that.
Floors
whatever.
Are fine. It's fine.
No. Although the older you get, floors are not as forgiving.
I don't know. Sometimes it's good for your back.
Motherfucker, I bought a back brace this week.
We got it. You're a little too old for the floor. Oh, but no, this
if you need it.
I will give it to Hardywood. They've done a they've worked this out.
Yep.
Throughout the years, so this is fucking good.
Yeah. So on that, that is our what we're drinking on this episode. As quick as we could for that, without
not talking about the beer.
Homage to the booze that we're drinking. Some tasty choices. I'm happy with it, especially the farmhouse. I think that's definitely the clear winner. Mm-hmm. We are moving on to.
I did L. We're on to M and Will.
M is Will.
Yeah, start right. with M. Yeah, oh, by the way, the reason they couldn't get this right is because they're from fucking California, San Jose to be exact.
Not the East.
Oh,
Coast.
No. Don't put it on California. San Jose. Ooh. Fuck San Jose. I don't.
And all our listeners drive from San Jose.
Yeah, all like one person in San Jose. Yeah. But also, I don't actually have an issue with San Jose.
Does that guy actually like San Jose?
It just sounded cool.
I got a lot of shit for not following the San Jose Sharks because when I started watching hockey, you growing up in San Diego, you can't root for an LA team. So the LA Kings were out. Like, that was not an option. And people were like, well, then just root for San Jose. They're the next one up.
What about Anaheim?
That was before Anaheim.
Oh, okay.
That was before they were a team. So San Jose was the other option. I went, no, but they're really bad. Like, I'm not gonna do that. And so I have it in my head that I hate San Jose, but it's only that I hate the like 1992 San Jose hockey team is the only issue that I have with San Jose.
That's hilarious.
So that's my axe to grind with San Jose. Yeah.
I was gonna say because they're West Coast, it doesn't get below what, like 50? What do the fuck they know about black pumpkin stout fucking cold weather beers?
Oh, they know in San Jose?
That's what I'm saying.
They know better than San Diego knew about cold weather beers.
But what do they know about cold weather beers, period, compared to East Coast?
If it ain't motor oil, I ain't drinking it.
I'm saying. No. I'm saying. At East Coast style, baby. We're like, we get cold, we get dirty, we leave a ring.
All right, so on that note.
Yeah,
so
all right, Will.
Will, bring the fucking thunder.
Bring the M.
I don't even know. Well... All right, I'm going with a 2002 movie. And this
what?
Was...
What the fuck do you have an issue with 2002?
It's just a pivotal year in horror. It
no,
really
I'm always curious to guess before they say what the movie is.
Yeah,
and this was a strange love story, if you would, starring... I always mess up her last name, but Angela...
Lansbury?
No.
Damn it.
Is it Murder, She Wrote? Yes. I'm so excited.
That's an M. That's a 2002.
Angela Betis?
Betis.
Yeah. That's how you say her
last name. Betis.
Directed by Lucky McGee.
May is so good.
Thank you for bringing May. I fucking love that movie. I loved it the first time I saw it with a good cameo of James Duvall, too, by the way.
Right? Yes. Right?
It's a good fucking movie.
So I was like, I could go for some easy picks. There's a lot of M's out there.
Yeah, M's are easy.
May is like the quintessential updated version of Frankenstein. Lucky McGee is an incredible underrated director. He has so many hits in the early aughts that you should check out. I am vibing with this. William McCobb. Fucking with it. Love it.
Also, May was so good that around the same time they started doing Masters of Horror and all the heavy hitters, and they're like, you know who we also got to add? Fucking Lucky McGee.
Yeah,
Girl was his series that he did with that same actress.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. It was a great fucking addition. And Lucky McGee was one of those like hidden gem horror directors from the early 2000s that nailed it. He had that very Carrie vibes to with May.
Yes.
But it was modernized version of about just a sad, weird, awkward girl that wasn't given the opportunity to be able to properly socialize, and it became like weirdly like psychic and crazy
and dolls like weird love story. I was looking at the horror collection just like this is what I'm bringing. And if you have not seen it,
it's a fun It's highly so recommended good. Horror movie. It really is.
It's
makes good.
Just a little dose of camp. It's not overly campy, but it's got a little bit. Like it's aware.
It's aware.
Well, James Duvall, I thought, brought a lot of that because his whole character when he like gets and the first time he gets saved, I was like, what the fuck? And like a surfer fucking vibe. Yeah. Like it was just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know how y'all feel about this, but I feel like you could watch. Okay, bear with me. You could watch The Craft and then watch May, and it would be great.
Oh, that's a great double feature.
Yeah. Somehow they fit.
That's kind of like a weird, like, psychotic girl power vibe.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Loves it.
That's awesome.
Well, you are up next with N.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So in the vein of Behind the Mask with the Rise of Leslie Vernon, I am here for smart slashers. So what I'm going to recommend for N. First of all, N is for Nerdcropolis, and check it out. Oh. Dropping the mic. Love it.
Nice. We got a plug.
That was my witch cackle. All right. So No One Lives. Check it out. No One Lives.
I haven't seen that.
This was literally the first movie that I watched when I signed up for a Shudder subscription in 2016. It was under the category of smart slashers. Y'all are going to hate me. No. I don't mean y'all here are going to hate me, but for the haters, this is a this is a WWE produced horror movie.
No.
It is.
Wait, is that it's not like
Look at Hobbit. Hobbit's already like,
it's not like
no,
See No
now.
Evil, right? It's not like See No Evil, right? With fucking Kane.
It's not See No Evil, even though I love See No Evil 2.
I
love See No Evil 2.
Post-apocalyptic WWE movie they did. What was the one where the
Love the groans right now because No One Lives is great. So don't listen to them, although you might feel the same way. I don't even fucking care. No One Lives. No, I don't care. I love this shit. I love this movie.
Mic drop.
I do.
Watch this movie, motherfucker.
See No Evil 1 was...
Elbow drop you.
But, like, also let me give you context and let me let you know who you're fucking with. See No Evil 1 was trash. See No Evil 2 with horror queen Danielle Harris and Catherine Isabel.
Okay.
Amazing.
No, that's so true. Both those women are phenomenal.
Horror
phenomenal
respect.
Horror
but
queens.
No One Lives is a great take on the slasher subgenre. It is basically the story of when the hunted becomes the hunter. So it sets it up in this couple that is traveling and they run across this merry band of bandits who are supposedly badasses, and maybe one of them becomes extra badass and they take revenge on the folk who are supposedly the badasses. So it completely is not unconventional. It is unconventional in the horror realms. It
nice.
Takes it. It is good. It was from 2012. So it was still in the vein of when torture porn was like still a thing. So the kills are very brutal. I'm telling you, if you're sick of the slasher subgenre, watch No One Lives and watch Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon, and it'll rekindle you to the subgenre. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm
and
saying.
Sounds
and you
like,
might hate it, and I don't fucking care. I love it.
And it sounds like, and you brought up the torture porn thing, but it doesn't sound like it's actually in the vein of torture porn.
No, it's not.
The thing that got people sick of torture porn is that everyone wanted to do a movie where it was just like, human
obvious
centipede,
no
fucking,
it's
you
not
know,
it's
all
not
that shit. No
yeah it's a but, story of
but it did open up the door for like I'm gonna film my movie where it's got some brain, it's got some heart,
it's clever.
And it's also got some fucking brutal kills.
Yes, that's
brutal
exactly
kills.
How I would describe it. And
nice.
You've never seen it and I love it, so no. Yeah, check it out.
All right, I wrote it down. That's on my list of things to watch.
And you might hate it, and I look forward to your review.
Okay. Although, I do love my follow-up.
I got you. I got you.
Your choice here, where the part of it is it being a role reversal.
The role reversal.
The hunters.
Yes.
And that is very true with my choice for the letter O, is a little horror comedy flick that kind of flew a little bit under the radar. Some of the deeper horror nerds may have seen it, but a little movie called Otis.
I've never seen
was that the kid?
No. This was a chubby pizza delivery dude that becomes obsessed with the younger daughter of this family that he delivers to on a regular basis. He ends up kidnapping her and has like this murder basement that he like makes her like perform like romantic cosplay basically for him. He's trying to create this like romantic experience with her. The family.
I forgot I'd seen this.
Yeah,
have you? I've never seen
it.
I've never heard of it.
I had forgotten.
It's got Daniel Stern in it.
What?
Yeah, it's the father. And basically, the
90s. What's the time frame?
Like 2004, 2005, 2006. It's late 2000s probably.
It's set in that time period too.
Yeah, it's set in that time period as well. Yeah, and so basically, the family ends up tracking down this dude. Like they figure out who it was that kidnapped their daughter. So instead of calling cops, they track him down and exact revenge and get little, the daughter back.
Last,
and it's
little last house on the left.
Yeah, it's gruesome and funny and wacky. I mean, there's some wackiness to it for sure. And there's a whole lot of wah from the serial killer being like, oh no,
you know, what?
Yeah.
Ooh, fucking Tim the Toolman Taylor over here.
I definitely have seen this movie, and there's definitely some
but you forgot you saw this movie.
Well, I also drink a lot.
Yeah.
And watch a lot of movies.
Hey, bro. Yeah. I got you. A lot of horror movies, lots of booze. It happens.
It
happens, dude.
You're like
right?
sitting there at like 3 a.m, you're like, what am I even watching right now?
All right. Wait, so it's me now, right? I got the pee.
The pee.
So.
Oh, God, this second half is going to be garbage. All right. So
hey. We use every man's trash is another man's treasure, sir.
And that's why I treasure you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm aware.
Are you all
was, that,
kiss?
Was that a pet or a pet or a hybrid?
That was a pet. It's hybrid.
It was how do you even say pet?
That was an alien
hybrid.
Resurrection of a pet. Like it was a little bit of both.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop. Yeah. Oh, don't reference that movie in front of me.
Okay, go.
Anyway.
Go. Jesus Christ.
So, of course, I had to bring a film from a particular person. Because he is my dude.
His and first, his last, his everything.
That's accurate. And also because, again, it is one of the more under-the-radar films of this particular giant horror director. So for those of you who do know his films, you might not know this one. And I brought Prince of Darkness.
Oh,
I have never seen that. I will admit it. I've See? Never seen it.
And it's not a negative. I'm just saying,
it's
like,
it's kind of right at the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. The bottom is fucking Mars. What is it? The fucking bullshit Mars
Fuck
movie.
You mean before George Romero did Land of the Dead, the plot of Land of the Dead? Because John Carpenter's Ghost of Mars is the exact same plot as Land of the Dead.
Ghost of Mars is bullshit. And his remake of Village of the Damned kind of sucks. And I know someone brought it on the very first episode we did this.
Yeah.
I don't fucking like that movie.
Yeah.
Spewing the facts.
I'm just saying.
Prince of Darkness. Tell me more.
So Prince of Darkness is part of the Apocalypse trilogy. So it started with The Thing, 1982. And then you got Prince of Darkness, which was 88, I believe. And then it ended with In the Mouth of Madness in 94.
Yeah. Which everyone should see. But yeah. Prince of Darkness is like, I agree with you. Prince of Darkness is that one that people forget or skip over and
they
that
should.
Trilogy.
I mean, I'm now going to have to go back and rewatch it all as kind of like a trilogy.
If you watch them in sequence, I kind of start to see.
I never really thought
you
about
really
that.
Start to see how they stopped an apocalypse. Like if The Thing had gotten out of Antarctica, what would have happened? If they let Satan come back in Prince of Darkness, what would have happened?
Damn.
If they let Sutter Kane, let Sutter Kane take over in the Mouth of Madness, what would have happened?
I never really thought about it. And that triptych.
Yeah, if you really look at it as a trilogy, each one, they all stop something that would destroy humanity and the world as we know it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
God damn.
And Carpenter penned the term, his apocalypse trilogy. It wasn't like fans. He said, like, this is my apocalypse trilogy.
Like, it was intentional.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know this, and I don't know if you do, but did he say that, like, during... When this shit came out?
I don't know the time frame he started.
I don't know either.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's a good question because I wish I did. Because that would even add some more. Like, if it was like when Prince of Darkness came out, he's like, yeah, this is part two of my apocalypse trilogy. You're like,
I don't think he did.
Another
yeah.
thing coming?
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it definitely is sleep. Is it his best film? Fuck no. Is it a good horror film to watch and throw on every once in a while?
And certainly in the context of those two fucking films, you need to watch all three of them to completely appreciate and understand it.
I think there's a chance I have seen it. Confused that with Lord of Illusions.
No, that's Clive Barker. Hold on.
Yeah, no, I need to like figure out the royalty of King of the Ants. Lord of Illusions,
Service of
Prince
Twilight.
Of Darkest, Darkness, yes.
Service of Twilight, which is voodoo, but it's still like religious Rainbow, related, yeah. You know, like, which Prince of Darkness is totally Catholic.
I love that recommendation because that flies under the radar, and I appreciate you for that.
Thank you.
For my Letterkenny Revit.
I recently just rewatched it because...
That's what I appreciate about you.
I enjoy that. There are Carpenter films that I don't like, clearly, like as I stated. I still like this one, though. It's still fun. Nice. It definitely goes back to his slow burn days. Because this is 88, so you think he's had 78. He had Halloween. He had The Fog. He had Escape from New York. He had all these movies come out before this. This does kind of take it back to a slow burn, but it unfolds nicely. And it's got Alice Cooper in it.
Cool.
Nice.
Too. Yeah, he plays the lead hobo. He kills a couple people.
Well, the next one up, I'm interested because this is one of the harder letters. And as we're getting to the later parts of the alphabet is where some of the letters get a little bit more challenging to figure out a choice here. Will, you've got Q.
So I was kind of surprised when I went back and looked and saw that we hadn't done this.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Because it's so damn obvious.
Quest for Fire is not a horror movie.
No. I think I know what it might be. Tell me.
It's been a long time, and it's a ride. We're going to go with Q.
Yes.
The Winged
Serpent. I knew it.
We're going to go with it. We're going to finally go with the obvious. Larry Cohen. Everybody has been trying to avoid it, I think, the last couple of years.
I think that's probably the case.
So
that's not true. I referenced this, actually, 2 years ago. I said, I want to say Q, The Winged Serpent, but I have never seen it. I've never seen it. But Larry Cohen, I've seen it now. It's incredible.
I was looking at it.
You mean there's stop motion over like city scenes that don't match.
I think it's incredible.
I had forgotten. I looked it up on IMDb today when I finally like pulled the trigger. I was like, yeah, I'm doing it. David Carradine apparently.
Yes!
Wait a minute. David Carradine was in this. Like, I haven't watched this in years. I'm gonna.
Yeah.
It's sitting on the shelf, and you know what? It's gonna get pulled out this year.
It is fun.
It's fun because of how trash it is.
You end up doing quarantine instead.
Yeah. I've never seen Q. Right. Yeah. The Winged Serpent. Yeah.
No, Q the Winged Serpent. It's a fun time, but it's not good.
No.
That's a get with your honey or a friend, pop a couple beers or
it doesn't matter.
A director
saying what would happen in New York City if some winged fucking
dragon thing, and I love it.
Like, what if a dragon was in New York? And somebody's like, fucking gold, Jerry, gold.
It's Q, the Winged Serpent.
It's bad.
No, it's bad.
So
it's a bad. It's a bad.
It's really bad.
It's a bad.
But it is so good, and I love it.
And it's probably free streaming literally everywhere.
Look, if you love awesomely bad movies, you have to watch Q.
It has to be in there. It's a fun bad watch.
Yeah,
it's a ride.
All right, next up, Katie.
And this is amazing because if you just watched Q, the Winged Serpent, you are absolutely going to watch my R pick, which could be on Beautiful Disasters for sure. Ooh. Another Geeks Under the Influence show. And that is Rawhead Rex.
Yes! Yes!
I was not expecting that. Fucking beautiful.
Rawhead Rex.
It is a beautiful disaster.
Yeah,
that movie is a
that
BD,
is
though.
A
Holy
beautiful
shit.
Disaster. Rawhead Rex, which is interesting about that, is that this is based on a Clive Barker story. And Clive Barker was like, no.
Is that like the first adapted Clive Barker?
Yeah.
Not only was it Rawhead Rex, there was another one that they made before they made Hellraiser, and both of them, Clive Barker was like, no. He was like, no. But Rawhead Rex is amazing. If you're a hardcore horror fan, you've already seen Rawhead Rex. But if you're not and you're like, I just love those like movies that are awesomely bad and they're terrible to watch and they're so much fun, watch Q the Winged Serpent and then watch Rawhead Rex.
Rawhead Rex is definitely
they're so funny.
Monster in Rawhead Rex looks like a mixture of like the jock that goes into a metal pit and intentionally punches people, like is a total douche in there, mixed with the Rancor from Star Wars. Like if you mix the two together,
wow,
you get Rawhead Rex.
Yes, you're so right. And the plot makes no sense. There is nothing linear about the plot of Rawhead Rex.
No,
it's
absurd. It's nonsense. It's
There's set. Some lightning. There's a giant lightning. Monster. There's ripping heads off. I mean, that's basically what Red Rags.
There's
I'm
a
sorry.
Lot of fucking like dry ice. Apparently, they have.
There is a lot of dry ice.
Excesses of dry ice.
You know what though? There's also a lot of stained glass in that movie that I would love to have in my own home. But truth. Watch it.
Stained glass.
It
is,
set
pretty.
In an Irish village, so
you're
fucking
using the
watch
term
it.
Glass very loosely.
No, I'm telling you, it's great. Rawhead
nice.
Rex.
Way to bring
watch it.
I know
that's
that
great.
Was awesome.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
All right, how about you got S.
S for this one. This is actually, if you want to do the trilogy three-peat movie night of our three, cue the Winged Serpent, Rawhead Rex.
Oh no!
And this movie, it's all garbage. And this movie has some of the worst puppetry I've seen in a movie ever.
Oh, okay.
I love that. I love there's so many garbage
mixed with some of the least sport-related sports that I've ever seen ever. We're talking about Sorority Babes at the Slimeball Bowl.
Yes, I love Linnea Quigley so much,
oh
and love this movie.
Wow, what a pull!
That's a pull, but it is. But I mean, no, Linnea Quigley is the pull to that film, though, for real.
Yeah.
Like she is the.
No, the backstory on me seeing this movie, there was the Suncoast Motion Picture Company that was like a mall store for movies.
Suncoast, yeah. We had so many movies from Suncoast.
Was going out of business at a mall, and I think the whole company was going out of business.
Yes.
And I ran across Sorority Babes at the Slimeball Ballorama, which I had seen in like horror magazines and stuff, but I'd never seen. And it was like $3 for the like wrapped
the
DVD.
The perfect price.
The perfect price. And I went, yep.
I'm gonna buy that. I got it.
And then I saw that and I fell immediately in love because it's bad, but it is the best kind of bad. It's hilarious. It's weird. The fucking weird goblin gargoyle genie monster that's in
goblin
the,
gargoyle genie, like the triple G
yeah,
of monsters.
That's in
so perfect.
In the fucking bowling trophy that he's like, oh, you're gonna do the thing. He's like, he talks
that
giant.
Is exactly how he sounds. He really says, oh, you gotta make the wish.
He sounds like he's a McDonald's character that's trying to talk jive. It's very weird.
Very
and,
stupid.
And there's like nerds that are being paired up to like fuck like hot chicks, and there's bowling, and like it's all the hits in the most low budget way humanly possible. I love this movie. It's garbage. It's exploitative. It has no plot. The plot makes no fucking sense. Nobody matters. You're not invested in any of the characters, but it's a fucking ride. It is so much fun.
Love it.
Anyone that has a projector screen and can set this up for their friends in the backyard and get them fucking drunk should watch.
Oh, this is
Sorority
a party
Babes.
Movie.
This is a party.
This is fully a party.
Oh,
movie.
Yes. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
All right.
I still have that DVD in my collection.
So good.
You can make that work on a projector.
I can make that work.
You can.
Done it before. I'll do it again.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Don't threaten me with a good time, man.
All right. So, again, this is another one for me where, at first, I questioned the remake versus the original. But I'm actually going to say fucking watch both for different reasons. And I went with The Town That Dreaded Sundown.
Oh.
Yes.
Fuck okay. Yeah. Mm. Fuck yeah, trombone. Yeah. I love that shit.
Because the remake plays so on the original that it actually happened. And it comes around Halloween, so October, just saying. And they have a yearly showing in October of the movie The Town That Dreaded Sundown. And it's showing, it's because that movie was shot docu-style for the kills that actually happened in the area. And then in this movie, the remake, a killer actually starts killing people in the town with the same modus operandi. So both films are actually really fun to watch. They're just two different style of films. That's really where I'm at with it. Like the original one is, like I said, done docu-style. It came out in like, what, 74, 78?
Oh, it was,
maybe
it was...
76. It's old, but for the time, it was a very visceral film. And the remake, when it came out, it was like 2014, I think. It was very hardcore for the time period it came out. So they're both very good watches. So I'm not going to tell you to watch either one like I did with the previous one that was a remake. I'm going to say watch both or pick which one fits your fucking taste. That's where I'm at with that.
Fair enough.
I am, like, literally screaming out of my skin right now listening to Lowdown talk about this movie because The Town That Dreaded Sundown, if you're not, like, hardcore horror. I don't know. I don't even mean to say hardcore. If you don't love horror, the town that dreaded sundown from the 70s is one of the original slashers. It was pre-Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It is pre-
Black Christmas.
Yeah. It is pre- whatever, everything else. And it is amazing.
Pre-Halloween.
But what is also very, very amazing is that it's silly. It is like, it's a slasher film, but the original one has a little bit of a silly element. And the remake is solid. And
remake
I don't
think it's gory and like hard.
It is.
Dude.
It really is. And
one,
I
man.
Do not, just in case no one has heard me on this episode before, but like, I'm sorry, not episode, but like this podcast before. I do not recommend silly, like, this is, it is good. The remake is good. So, yeah, I love that you recommended that. So good. Thank you, Lowdown.
Welcome. Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-wiggin animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
Hey guys, Scotty Big Daddy Preston here, that's right, the Geek Father, asking you to join me here every other week with friends and family of the GUI Network as we go through all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent. So remember, join us or cry.
In a world ravaged by movie studios that keep rehashing the same things, only one podcaster has the guts to make it even worse. Join Mike the Hobbit as he traverses the internet to bring you some of the best and worst ideas for reboots, remakes, and reimaginings of some of your favorite and least favorite TV and film properties. Ideas like a John Waters He-Man movie, Fantastic Four the musical, and Aliens done entirely with marionettes. What podcast would bring this evil upon the world? This is Smack My Pitch Up. Available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey geeks, we'll get back to 31 Days of Halloween in just a second. We just wanted to talk about our sponsors really quick. First off, of course, is Amazon.com. You buy products all the time from Amazon. Why not give a little bit of money back to Geeks Under the Influence while doing so? Just go to the link at GUIpodcast.com, and anything you purchase through that link, we get credit for. So all the movies we're talking about on this episode, you can get through the link at GUIpodcast.com, and we get a little bit of credit for it. So that's the best way for you to spend the same amount on Amazon and still support your favorite podcast at the same time. Secondly, of course, is TeePublic. We have so many designs that are specifically for the Halloween season that are now out on our page, including a new design for this episode that says, let's get spooky. Get that, or Alcoholoween, or we've got so many spooky designs, as well as designs for all the different shows on the network, and inside jokes from over the years of all the different shows. And they are on sale all the time. So go to GUIpodcast.com/store, click on the TeePublic link, or just click on the TeePublic logo on the homepage at GUIpodcast.com. That is the number one way to get merch and spread the word about GUI Network shows, as well as putting a little bit of money in our pocket to better our equipment and supplies that we need here on the network. So go check out that new design, this Let's Get Spooky design, as well as, you know, we've got buttons, stickers, magnets, coffee mugs, laptop cover, baby onesies. We've got all sorts of options for you on the TeePublic store. And now back to the episode. So we're down to Will with you, which is one of the more challenging letters.
It is He's a more challenging letter.
Will's got it.
But fortunately, in recent years, we got Jordan Peele.
We're gonna bring one of the hits. We're gonna bring the big boys.
But also, like, what a, like, the movie just got, like, weird. Yeah. Like, okay. as it went.
Look, I love the movie. I do. I love Us. I love Us. We're talking actually outside before we started recording about there are two different types of storytellers. There's the engineer that has it fully tracked out to the end, and the creative that they're incredibly intensely creative and they come up with these great concepts, but they don't know how to land, stick the landing. Us, and to a much lesser degree, I think there's a lot less issue with Get Out than Us, but
great.
Us, there's so many problems with the structure of the story that's being
yes.
told. I love what it's
fuck.
I love what it's
it expressing. Is saying it. It's saying
like I love the expression that it's saying, but it's so nonsense in the actuality of like the like, world that it's creating.
It definitely the like the it almost feels like the movie was in two parts.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Right. I agree.
Like and you're like this is incredible. This
the
is,
hand across where is America.
It, where is it going?
Basement. This is slave. And, twin thing was fucking where,
as they're walking through the basement there are twins walking on like fuck no
yeah
no oh. no that was the film that where he also like was focusing too much on the stylization.
Yeah,
like there's some really awesome scenes.
Yes,
that it's like, dude, if your story was cleaner it
would have wrapped up beautifully so well. Yeah,
but because the story like up to the part where you get the stylized scenes you're like, ah, dude,
you got some. You got
and
some
people
like,
gave me shit initially after when I came out from seeing it. I'm like, dude, this is no Get Out. So I walked out of Get Out like mind blown.
Oh for yeah,
the
yeah.
film. And, but Hobbit is right there. Some there are things throughout the film because there's no a perfect film, right?
Right.
But with Us, there was just a lot I had to say about that movie.
It yeah, really was. And but I mean, it's still a fun time.
No, it's not a bad movie to watch, but it's definitely yeah. not his strong.
No.
His strong.
Yes. I agree with that. You
know, we're also yeah. picking the letter U. So
U is hard,
and Us is worthy of watching.
Yeah, exactly. No, it is. No, it is definitely should be in your.
If you haven't seen it yet, you need to watch it. Wheelhouse
right.
of movies
with V.
Yeah, I got you, V.
It's so easy to do a vampire movie.
Yeah, I. Pulling that shit.
You ain't pulling that shit?
No.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah,
I'm proud of you.
No.
All right, like me last year. All right. Anyway.
The reason I ain't pulling that shit is because there is going to be a movie released this fall that is going to be the next iteration of this film, and that is the VHS franchise.
That's
wait, they're
right.
bringing another
yeah,
VHS.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, wait a minute, what?
They're making a
VHS 4.
But it's like wow. 1994 or something?
No,
or?
No. It is not in the vein of Fear Street. It's just VHS 4. Maybe, I don't know. But listen, if you have never watched any of the VHS series, watch them. Do not watch VHS 3 because that is fucking trash. The pick that I am making on this specific episode is VHS 2. So I fucking love VHS 2 and all of
I agree. It's better than one.
It's so much better than one.
Yeah. Well, so but, all the stories are just good compared to
yeah.
what I had. Like.
Yeah. But what I love is that this is an anthology. Both of them are anthology series. So you're going to get short horror films that are amazing and that
yes.
are quality.
Yes.
The reason that I like VHS 2, let me tell y'all, let me drop some story on y'all. 2012, I am a horror fan that is kind of like, oh, I'm a little bit like disenfranchised. I don't know what's going to happen with the horror genre. What's going on? VHS 2 comes out. I'm like, okay, I like VHS 1. That's great. I watch it. There is a short story in VHS 2 that is called Safe Haven.
Mm.
Safe Haven should have been an entire fucking film. Safe Haven is about a cult. It is so brutal. It completely re-energized my love for horror. Watch it if you haven't seen it. It is amazing. Opening up for comments because I
well, recharge the battery.
I hate that with anthologies where there's like a 20-minute anthology series that you're like, this could be three movies. Like,
yeah.
why the fuck did this
right.
get put into a 20-minute
right.
thing? But, oh, I totally understand. But that's the beautiful thing about like VHS and those
yes.
anthologies is that directors get a chance to like take a chance
just yeah. take a risk
do something
yeah.
and there's a lot of really fun and if something's bad you wait 14 minutes and then you're gonna get a new story.
I enjoy a good anthology really.
Oh it's, definitely
it's definitely got a special place in my heart, like especially as like I hate to say it, like sometimes I'm kind of ADD. I don't really
yeah.
know what I want to
yeah.
do. I don't really know what I want to watch.
Put an anthology, you're good.
Well, an anthology,
put an anthology
is,
and you're like,
anthology
boom,
is instead of going through a fucking YouTube rabbit hole where you just let the playlist go, put on a fucking anthology horror series.
And yeah, you're and, like, you're ready for like, and then you're like, oh, are they going to tie it together? Are they not going to tie it together? Like, which direction is this one going to go? And it gets to be a lot of fun. So
with VHS, they don't tie it together, but if you don't watch anything else, please watch VHS 2 and watch Safe Haven.
Fair enough.
And it doesn't always need to tie itself together. It's just like, it's just fun to have an anthology
a bunch
series.
Of different stories.
It really is. So I'm the same way. Like I'll put a movie on. I'll put on anthologies because I want multiple things.
We are getting into the home stretch, so let's just rapid fire this shit because we're getting close here.
What you got?
This is another one of those that just like Candyman, I felt like I didn't have a choice in my decision for W. There was a recent filing of movie that it was in the W category that I had to choose, and that is Willy's Wonderland.
Yes!
Oh!
I loved it.
Holy
loved
fucking
it.
Shit. This movie is fucking stupid as fuck. It makes no sense.
It's great. Yes, it makes no sense.
No, it makes no sense. But the thing is, the movie also knows that it makes no sense, and it doesn't even try to make sense.
Wait,
it doesn't
makes
waste
perfect sense to me.
No, it.
They explain
it's
it.
Absurd
like,
as fuck. Hey, it is absurd
town
as fuck.
The is sacrificing travelers to animatronic Chuck E. Cheese characters.
No, the dude that started
Charles
that.
Entertainment
that's the plot.
Cheese.
The dude
Charles
that started, the dude that, started that made a pact with the devil, and then
with a B,
and all the animatronics became possessed. And he kept it that way. People started disappearing.
I think
and like,
I'm
I
mean, less concerned about that aspect of the plot so much as the Nick Cage version of the plot where he's not discussed at all. You don't know anything about this character. He rolls in. He looks at these animatronic creatures like he's seen this shit before.
Yeah.
And that's...
I don't know what he's seen.
I love it.
He's like Mad Max.
That's I've so fucking it. Much to me I've where he's just like,
it's still
oh
great
God,
movie.
One
I
of these
it.
Things again. And also the energy drinks, nothing about his character is explained at any
he
point.
He plays
in this
pinball
movie.
After every six or seven
talk.
Energy drinks. It's great.
The whole movie.
Watch it. It's
he
amazing.
He doesn't talk the whole movie.
And it's amazing.
Animatronics.
This is the thing
Come
that
on,
actually
people.
Upsets me about
Watch
this movie.
It.
The same things I that I have it. Reservations I about this movie is also
part, I love it.
Part of the reason why I love this
yeah,
movie.
I yes.
the fact
love it.
They don't explain anything about this character.
Also,
they don't even try. It's not that they forgot to. They didn't want to. They wanted it to be this weird thing that he's this weird fucking like Mad Max type
plays
character
fucking pinball
that shows
in
up
Queens.
And he's like the horror movie version of a Mad Max character. He shows up to a weird thing. He fucks it up. He gets it solved. And then he moves on to a different fucking sequel.
Also, I'm going to go ahead and admit that whatever this nonsense that is coming out of Nicolas Cage in the last few years, I feel like it's amazing. And he has reaching his final form as this like
apex
amazing like there's been so much garbage
Mandy
that, but
fucking,
like
it's just fucking color out of
space.
Space like
have dude. You seen Pig like
Pig, yeah. I'm not yet I've not seen Pig yet
shit.
Really dude is
I it, mean it's just it he's this
is it the level does it make the level of Cage of Cage film
it's good it's
okay.
good
okay
it's good
okay.
it's just it's Nicolas Cage is reaching this like apex form of like this weird dude monster and I mom and dad
mom
like
and dad was
oh,
so good
like,
dude
god damn it
no
anyway,
I'm glad he finally just absorbed it he just was like
this
I'm gonna
weird,
do this
this weird dude and I love it I love where it's going anyway sorry
yeah, no
well
fair.
No but also like he's releasing on such a regular basis that you got Pig Willy's Wonderland Prisoners
many.
Of Ghostland just dropped this week.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
You got a new movie?
Prisoners of Ghostland. If you haven't seen the trailer, we'll do it after this episode. Prisoners of Ghostland looks like a psychotic, hyper-real, hyper-color, post-apocalyptic, Japanese-American thriller, horror, adventure movie.
Well, I got a pre-spooky season movie.
It looks insane as fuck. And it apparently just dropped a small release this week. And I've seen Twitter responses to it where it is the biggest nonsense, amazing, hilarious ride.
Nick Cage GUI episode set.
Yeah, no shit. But the movie is Prisoners of Ghostland. He did that around the same time that he did Willy's Wonderland and Pig. He's knocking out like six movies a year at this point.
getting paid.
Like every 2 months, there's a new Nicolas Cage movie coming out.
I'm here for it. I am so here for it.
And the thing is that the quality of those movies are increasing as far as the batshit crazy aspect of it.
Give the people what they want.
Because the shit's getting even more fucking elaborate. Okay, like, we can't
dwell on it. Let's keep going.
We already did Nicolas Cage.
You need a whole Nicolas Cage episode.
That's what I said.
We did.
We did that. Prior to this, we did it premature.
We need a part two.
Part two.
Anyway, so we got me. We got
for X, which is always very difficult.
Yeah, so X,
is the hardest letter.
It is, and I'm going to bring this up now. I mentioned this before the episode. This movie has not been done, but because it was also the easiest find in the previous two calendars. But moving forward from this, we've got like maybe two other movies in the history of horror movies. With the X.
Well, and then
so we need to start going phonetic.
EX, phonetic absolutely is okay.
Or you know what we need to do? We need to challenge horror writers.
Love that. Yes.
Yo, our buddy, old Macabre just dropped the gauntlet. Oh, shit. Oh!
Coming this summer, Excess Bloodlet.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
Right there. Right there.
Sold.
Yeah. So, but no, we need to go phonetic. Didn't really want to do this because I was thinking that the majority of the horror world knows this, but then as I'm thinking about it, there's probably a lot of people that don't know this movie because it is so ridiculous. And I finally went with Extra.
That's sci-fi horror.
I
do not know that movie. Describe really? It.
It's a garbage robot movie.
I don't fuck with sci-fi
alien movie. Like, this dude, this alien kind of impregnated this dude's mom, and then he grows up and he wants to be just like dad. It's kind of Extra. And then it's got like four sequels.
But is that a creature feature, or is it more of a story?
There's some creature stuff. There's creature stuff in there. I wouldn't clarify it as either or. I'd say more both. It is a sci-fi horror as like Life Force or the first alien.
90s, yeah, 80s, 2000s, 70s?
80s. It was 80s. Like 80s.
Love it.
87?
Yeah, I want to say late 80s.
Yeah.
Late
80s. Anyone listening to this about like, Extra, this is the 80s, you fucking. I'm like, I don't know.
The only reason I found about it is because Groots gave me his DVD copy for Christmas 1 year. So Groots from Beautiful Disasters gave me his copy. I guess he had an extra copy.
Okay.
He made a little like bundle of movies. And, Freaks was one of them.
Awesome.
Extra was one.
Okay, cool.
I watched it and I was like, this is. Kind of a tire fire.
We love a title that is going to expand our repertoire. Yeah, love it.
Right. Exactly. Seriously. I don't regret watching it. I will rewatch it. So,
all right. So we're moving on to Why with Will.
Why is also another wonderful,
challenging,
wonderful letter. But yeah. I did a quick search and I remembered I had watched this movie sometime in the last year of being at home. Yoga Hosers.
Oh,
that
I did.
Movie's a tire fire.
You know what? It is Kevin Smith, Johnny Depp, like children's movie, right?
Yeah.
No,
yeah, it is.
Yeah,
maybe, I guess.
You know what I mean? Like
the backstory of that is that their daughters.
That's what I meant.
The convenience store clerks in Tusk.
Tusk, yeah.
Right. And that's actually why Johnny Depp played the detective in Tusk is because his daughter was friends with Kevin Smith's daughter, and he was like, fuck it, why not? Let's all just play in this space. So Yoga Hosers.
Their kids are in the movie, which I love.
He created the story basically just to have an excuse to build on the character that his daughter had. He's basically trying to create like the next generation Kevin Smith mythos of like these small characters having a different thing.
And I love it.
Thing is, I didn't finish more than 40 minutes in the movie.
Oh, see. You didn't get to the end with the weird sausage Nazis.
No, the sausage Nazis came out and they started like punching them, and I was like, "I'm
wait,
dumb.
I don't know about the sausage Nazis. Can you elaborate without spoiling it?
Bratzies.
But like, Bratzies is an elaboration without spoiling it. I love it.
There's a scientist, and there's all of a sudden there's brats that come to life, but they're like got little Hitler stash
and pith helmets,
it's bad. It's a bad movie.
It's a bad
honestly
movie.
Don't watch it.
I want to watch it.
Supposed to lead into the Moose Jaw, which was supposed to be Kevin Smith's Jaws movie, but with a moose.
The fact is, and he was looking at making like $10 million movies, which as far as the world goes, that's like super fucking cheap, like. Bizarrely cheap, which is Yoga Hosers. That was Tusk. Yoga Hosers was so bad, he couldn't raise $10 million for Moose Jaw, which was the funnier movie. Which sucks because I wanted to see Moose Jaw. I think Yoga Hosers, he was so focused on creating a property for his daughter, who's doing kind of okay on her own in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy Yoga Hosers? And I mean that in the vein of like, yeah, this is a movie that I would watch.
I'll watch it once.
Yeah, that's
maybe twice.
I will watch it then.
I mean, that's
what I meant. That was my threshold.
It was just watching it once.
It was this bizarre thing.
Yeah.
With Fair. Johnny Depp and his daughter, and I'm like, what is going on? What is and like you're watching it, and they you're like,
okay, I will watch it.
But then there's weird sausage Nazis. You're like,
love it.
What is happening?
Bratzies.
I'll watch it.
Yeah. Sorry.
But now we get to the last letter of the alphabet before we go into Holoweek, where each of us gets one Holoweek deal. So for the 27th of October, we're at Z for Katie.
Yeah, I'm here for it. So it's Zombievers. That's the movie. And it's great. Yeah, so everyone, as you can hear, the entire panel was like, "Yeah, this is great." I'm gonna put it in the vein of Piranha or Lake Placid. That is where you're going to find Zombievers. It's great. And if you enjoy movies that have a original title song at the end credits.
I forgot about the song.
The fucking song is amazing. Incredible. So the end credits happen and there's a song. Not going to spoil it. Watch Zombievers. There's really nothing left to be said. It's an amazing fucking film that you don't expect is going to be good. So watch Zombievers.
Look, the plot is exactly what the title
is. Yeah, it's like there's nothing. There's no mystery.
Yeah, and also there's no more nuance to the plot.
Nothing.
More than the name of the movie.
Yeah.
But it's still a really fun time. It's dumb.
It's better than you think it's going to be.
It's so funny, though.
I'm here for dumb movies, though. I really am.
Fuck yes, I am.
I am always here for a dumb movie. It's just, you got to want to watch the dumb movie, right?
And speaking of that is my choice for the Holoweek pick. We're looking at the 28th Thursday.
Yeah,
For mine... there is some confusion about this movie because there is a movie with a very similar title called Hellfest. Takes itself too seriously. The clearly superior version of it is Bloodfest, which is one we did at Fuck You Hunter's house. Actually, Steven, I don't know if you were there. We watched it. It is a horror comedy movie where there's there's a bunch of killers. There's a bunch of different areas that has like zombies and witches or whatever. And it's set up and then turns out where it's a whole setup for everybody there to be murdered. And there's a serial killer walking around. And also there's actual witches witches.
Are you talking about the 2018 film Bloodfest?
Yeah.
No, like Hunter and I did that on Killer or Filler. You were not involved.
But we also watched it at a projector night. At his house.
I wasn't there for that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying, we did a whole episode on that because it's amazing.
It's so much fun. Not only that, but the dude from Chuck that plays Shazam shows up brief for like 2 seconds. Like, he's in it for just a second.
All they could afford.
That's probably all they could afford, but also he makes the best of his time. He's a great cameo.
Basically, it's a horror con that shows up on like 30 acres.
Yeah.
There's a fucking t-shirt that says I survived Bloodfest, and that is the t-shirt that I bought.
Yes!
That's what I'm saying. Yes! It's such a good movie.
That's so good.
Yeah. So there were a couple parts where it dragged, but all in all, it didn't kill for the movie. When we released the episode, we had to think about how do we want to do this, because we could spend time focusing on all the fucking callbacks.
Definitely.
Or we could spend time just trying to tell the story. And we kind of got a little in between, you know, but like, all in all, it was a great film.
I think the challenge with Bloodfest is it's a child of two masters, basically.
Yeah.
It's callbacks to a lot of all the classic horror stuff. It's a reference to all the things that we come to know and love in horror, but the same end is trying to create some level of appreciation for the characters in this movie at the same time. Mm-hmm. So they have to create these boring dialogues between the characters, so you make them care about each other. But the fact is, you do end up actually caring about them. It just comes off a little bit long at points, because it's so fun to reference all these fucking horror movie tropes that you've come to know and love. You want to go back into the fucking fun, and these characters are busy trying to, like, fuck each other in a bathroom.
You're like, or, eh.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to break off, and then so, he runs into vampires.
Why they take the pause to develop the characters, because eventually you do care about these characters, and you want them to survive, and when characters die, you're upset. Like, it's important that they have those moments, but the fun outside of that those moments is so fun that you're like, can we just not deal with the actual plot and just go back into the fucking, the slip and slide again?
Real quick, because there are so many movies where you're like, what do I watch between the two? There's Volcano, Dante's Peak, there's The Illusionist, there's The Prestige, there's Hellfest, there's Bloodfest. I recommend Bloodfest. That shit is great because of just the reasons that they talked about. Yeah. That's my reason.
Fucking Bloodfest is so fun.
Bloodfest is a great film.
And if I remember,
I
think it's still...
They left it open for a sequel.
I think it's still free on Prime, the last I checked.
It was on Shudder when I watched it.
It could be on Shudder as well, yeah. But so now we're going into...
We got me. We got
Lowdowns.
My Halloween pick. And
the Friday, the 29th of Halloween.
I kind of looked at it. This movie, I can't believe we haven't actually brought this up in previous calendars, and I was like, no, this movie needs recognition. And I'm going to specify. I'm going with the unrated version of Drag Me to Hell.
Yes. 100%. Ooh.
And I specify the unrated version because that was some gross, hardcore shit in that fucking movie, dude.
Once again, another wild ride.
Yeah, dude.
Wild ride.
But wild ride that scared the fuck out of you. The parking deck?
Oh,
that scared the shit out of me, dude. Like, you just see the fucking handkerchief floating. You're like, what the fuck? And next you know, she's like in your fucking face. And she's like, ah, voodoo corpse. Oh, God. It's gross. So disgusting.
Mm, I loved it.
Mm. Anybody else? Anything? Drag Me to Hell?
Drag Me to Hell. I like the PG-13 rating. Sam Raimi was like, cool, yes! I can do with that. Literally just making the grossest movie with no blood. But there's spit, there's boogers, there's like the fucking grossest shit ever, there's like weird mouth noises,
motherfucker.
Yeah, no shit. Oh, like, yeah. That Sam Raimi was like, oh, okay, I can't do blood, okay, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like, just made it gross.
But then the unrated version, you get the noises plus the bodily.
Yeah,
it's not just blood. No, we're talking about bodily fluid.
Yes!
Yeah.
Mm. Sam Raimi's good with the goo.
Yeah. He goes beyond the blood. He's like, no, fuck you. They didn't want blood. Now I'm going to do it unrated. I'm not going to give you blood. I'm going to give you, like, all kinds of nasty shit.
Good with the goo
shit.
Is a solid episode.
Good with
man.
The goo.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Good with the goo.
And that comes with time. I mean, when did Drag Me to Hell came out in, what, 2009?
It was late.
So, obviously, people knew that there was, like, this whole thing where PG movies in the 80s was like, why was this a PG movie? Same thing with Drag Me to Hell. It was like, why is this a PG-13 movie? There are so many elements of this where it's like, it takes it beyond that. And it's
because Sam Raimi's been doing this so long, he knew how he could
get
away with.
Exactly. He knew. That's why he is a masterful director. That movie is essential viewing. If you have not watched that, fucking watch it right now when you're listening to this. Like, stop it. Don't even go to the next letter. Stop it and watch that. That's
how good. And if you can find, like I said, if you can find the unrated version, there's a whole other world.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I got a pretty good one for the next.
No, let's get to Will here because we're right at the tail end here.
What's up, Will? What you got, bro?
I'm going to go with a 2020 release that's also kind of gross and fun and weird and stupid. And I mean, what child doesn't want to take hold of a gem that controls a giant psycho gourmand?
Yeah! Psycho gourmand is the best!
Yes!
Dude,
That movie was so fucking absurd, dude.
I love Psycho Gourmand so much!
It is hitting so many levels. The sci-fi nerds, the horror nerds, the retrowave nerds, like the fucking absurdist people.
Comedy.
Comedy nerds, Like, there's so much comedy. That fucking actress, that little girl, bringing everything in the entire fucking world. She's a fucking hero, deserves a fucking Oscar. I can't wait to see what she does after this.
Oh, my God.
Because she is clearly... There's a giant monster killer that she is stealing scenes from.
She's just such She's just such
like, because she just won't let him talk. You just see all these scenes of Psycho Goreman, like...
She's like pulling off the sassy bitch so hard. And it's so amazing.
Yeah, she is like fucking
a pain in the ass. And gone, I love it. I
Girl
love
is
it.
Gone.
But she's sassy. She's fun. She's like, no, you're going to go
let
eat
go.
That.
She doesn't let go of the gem. Like, you see Psycho Goreman stare at her like, she's like, I'm still
I brought you these magazines. They have some hunky boys.
Oh, the brain, though. The brain, Frank. Come on, man. Brain, dude. He's like, will I ever be a human again? Like, I don't know, whatever. Just cry in your bed. Like, what the fuck?
The effects, the practical effects in that movie is also incredible. The costuming was fucking fantastic. They knew exactly what kind of movie they were. They were was it Blood Machines with Carpenter Brute that Shudder did, which is like high concept, insane fucking retro synth wave gore sci-fi weirdness, and it had a little bit of that. And then on the other end, you have like the trauma.
Yes,
somewhere right in between.
TV is bleeding. That's what they said. That's an actual line.
You've got the one god who was chugging out blood from churned guts and shit.
No, it was like a Gwar concert.
What the fuck, man?
Also indicative of Rawhead Rex was what I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
It really was.
So speaking of that, Katie, you got the last what you want.
Oh my god. Because this is 2021, I'm going to tell you I'm going to rock your fucking skulls off with that shit that I just watched. It's Malignant.
Malignant?
Really?
I haven't gotten to see it yet.
That is such a divisive
The
movie.
Way, oh, the divisive, the way, oh my God, the fucking tension in this room is cuttable with a knife. Here's why I will defend Malignant, and you can make your own choice.
I haven't watched
it
yet. Like, it's on my list. I just haven't made it yet.
Yeah.
I
enjoy James Wan. I do.
James Wan made a horror film only for horror fans. Only for horror fans. And that's why I will recommend this to anyone that's at this fucking podcast that's like, what do I watch this year that's going to fucking break my face? This is Malignant. I shushed everyone because no one should have any expectations going into that movie, because I can't spoil it for you. I can't. Malignant, I loved it. It was bonkers.
You're the only person that has seen it in this group of people.
Bonkers.
The one thing that I will say is that from a lot of the horror groups that I'm in on Facebook, the clear, like almost 50-50 line on the horror nerds on them saying it's maybe the worst thing that's ever happened to horror.
Mm-mm,
or
no,
being like,
disagree.
I absolutely loved it and it's like transcendent.
Yeah, I'm on
horror.
That camp.
It's very divisive.
I have seen that across all.
Yeah,
the
and I'll get. I will. Mean,
like,
I'm like.
It literally is like half and half. Like,
people
are like, it's amazing.
You know what? If you're making a movie that is that divisive to such a specific hardcore genre of people, and this is me before seeing Malignant. What that means is that you kind of succeeded. As a filmmaker.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a 20-second commentary on that. James Wan has already established himself as a, like, incredible horror. He doesn't need to prove anything. Yeah, that's all I mean. He don't need to prove anything. So he made this movie, and it was for the horror fans, and that's it. That's all I got to say.
Word.
Fair enough.
Mic drop.
But on that note, we are done with this episode. I would ask that you pull up your phones and pull up our group chat, because we've got one little thing to send off on this episode. We still got to do making a drunken scene. So let me find that music.
I'm pretty drunk.
I think that's kind of why it's fun to put it at the end of the episode now.
Rad.
Making a drunken scene.
Oh, this is, yeah, this is insane.
This is a stupid,
We will do it.
Little bit here. This is from Rocky Horror Picture Show, and it's a small bit.
Uh-huh.
So everybody's got their characters. So here we go. This is
I don't remember who I am.
You're Brad.
You're Brad.
Thank you.
And I'm Janet. So here we go. From Rocky Horror Picture Show, starting with Dr. Everett Scott.
Janet?
Scott!
Hero Janet.
Brad!
Rocky!
Scott!
Janet!
Brad!
Janet!
Oh, is it me?
Yeah.
It's you.
Oh, Brad!
Rocky!
Jesus Christ. Wow, that's the simple. That was the simplest.
I missed.
That is the simplest drunken scene we've ever done.
And it was the hardest.
It was the hardest to do. Holy shit.
That was terrible. No, it was fun. It was a lot
But
of
also,
fun.
Like, so as much of a train wreck as this second half of 31 Days of Halloween, thank you so much for spending two episodes with us as we talk about some of the great and not so great of horror on your 31 days of the spooky season.
Spooky.
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 So definitely check us out at gypodcast.com. Hit us up on social media. Rate, review, subscribe. Check out From the Mouths of Madness. Check out GY Nights eventually sometime this month. I think we're going to have a GY Nights.
No, honestly, I don't think we're going to have a GY Nights till November, actually.
Possibly. Yeah, I have to look at the calendar.
It's crazy.
But it's all on the same stream.
Yeah, yeah.
But definitely check out the other shows on the Geeks of the Influence Network, GYPodcast.com. Until then, we will see you next week for another amazing episode of Geeks of the Influence. I'm Mike the Hobbit. And as always, joy, not so joy!
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
GUIPodcast.com.
Oh, you're gonna do the thing!